Hi, I am Nirmal Sarkar, and you are listening to the Crypto Hub India podcast. We are a group of crypto enthusiasts, and this podcast is nothing but a collection of our Clubhouse live sessions, where we discuss the latest crypto trends from India. Well, this also means you can directly participate on our Clubhouse sessions and become a part of our next episode. Come, join us. Visit CryptoHubIndia.com to get all our social links. Thank you.
Okay, I have another question. Can I ask?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so my question is, as I have seen that this Solidity, it is a programming language basically for blockchain and executing smart contracts and transaction. So my question is that like there is Ethereum. So if we want to code on Ethereum, make our own using Ethereum's API on our server, do we need to learn Solidity, or we can do on any language if we want, using basically their APIs?
Their APIs, what do you mean?
Like Ethereum, as far as I think that it might be providing their own APIs to execute transaction and do execute and verify. So, I think it might be.
So basically, if you have to I'm assuming you know coding or you're a developer, so if you have to develop or deploy an application which is Java based, right, or which is based on Java virtual machine, you need to code it in the Java language, right? So similarly, Ethereum has this EVM, which is Ethereum virtual machine, and you have to code that language, you have to use the Solidity language to deploy your application network. And I don't think there is an open API so far from Ethereum where you can you can call that from a centralized server and get data from that centralized Ethereum. Maybe you can do it through Oracle like Chainlink, but I don't know. I have not worked on that, so I won't comment on that. But if you have to deploy an application on EVM or on its network, you need to develop that application in Solidity.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yeah, the backend, like the business logic code, that has to be, or that is what is called smart contract, has to be in the Ethereum language. Front end it can be on React or Mailer or maybe front end technology. So once you have deployed your smart contract, it will generate a file. You have to copy that file in your front end code. And then in front end, you can, maybe that code is like an API only, but it's not exposed on web. It's like you have to copy that entire file and then download those libraries and then connect to those methods or programs, whatever.
All right, thank you,
Max.
So first of all, thank you Ravi and Joshman for answering all the questions. I have been in this space for around 6 months and I have one doubt. So all the governments are coming up with this regulation thing, India, USA and many more countries. So what are your views on it? How would it affect the price of Bitcoins and other altcoins? What are your views?
So basically, if we talk about in India, a negative step in crypto. So we have already had circulation of that list about, which also mentioned about the crypto bill. And people got panicked because that bill says banning cryptocurrency, something some people started
banning private
cryptocurrency. So there was no clearance what they meant about private cryptocurrency, or either they are going to ban all, they even not, you can say, bifurcated to whom they are calling that private or public. There is no concept of public or private. There is a concept of privacy based coin, which we call private coin, but still there was no confirmation from the government. People, we also were trying to guess what the government really want to say, but still what happened is there was no kind of fluctuation in the global market. But if you have seen, the USDT rate went down, I think it touched about 58 rupees in Indian market, and just because if USDT rate is going down, it affects on the BTC rate. If you check the INR pair, there I think all most of the coins were down approx 10 to 15% because of the INR values going down on the you can say USDT. So that's how you can say that if anything going negative from the Indian government, you will see the same scenario that USDT value going down, but it won't affect much on the global market. It may be gonna be affecting, but if there is a bull run and if any country is banning apart from USA, China, which is a regular ban, so China, UK, if they are not making any negative steps on the crypto, then I don't think that gonna impact on the crypto global market. But if particularly a nation, suppose India is doing, then that will impact the INR value at least. So whatever we are going to invest into crypto, first of all, using INR, we are investing into USDT, because the first investment, even if you are buying BTC with the INR, first of all, what happens is you are buying USDT, then that USDT is buying BTC, and then that's how you are getting the BTC. So right now it is $80, maybe $75, $76. So once people will start selling it and there will be a panic, then people not gonna be buying that USDT at a rate of maybe 70 or 75. Then you have to sell it in loss, either you have to hold it, but you have no option to hold it because your government is going to ban it. So you have to sell it at a loss, maybe around 60 rupees per USDT or maybe 50 rupees per USDT. That's how the main problem is, because if you know, some smart people will be there who know that at least this USDT worth $1, that means 73-74, whatever the market price of USD INR is there. So there will be some people who have the idea that even the market goes down, actually I can find a way, I can sell this USDT to any foreign person, and who is willing to pay me actual amount, or maybe at a discounted maybe 5%, because I'm not gonna sell it at 50 rupees. If at least I'm getting 70 rupees for that 74 rupees USDT, I'm still okay. So, but there will be very less amount of people who have this knowledge that you can still sell your USDT with the worth of USD in the global market.
Are you talking about P2P?
No, P2P, there will be a way. If you have any friend or you can say any relatives in the, you can say, foreign countries, you can tell them that country is banning it, our government is not allowing us to hold it, so you can take it, you can convert it into your USD, and you can withdraw in your bank account, and then pay me after taking 5% of out of my total investment. So they will do it, they are not going to lose anything. So if that is not a big amount, and that not affect their, you can say, taxation, then they will do it. And I think this is the way, only few people will know that at least, because if you are selling that USDT at 50 rupees, that make no sense. And I think that is the kind of negative part. If government is going to do anything, it won't gonna impact on BTC or any cryptocurrency. It will only gonna impact on USDT or this Matic or WazirX tokens, or maybe any Indian related cryptocurrencies, because they are mostly dependent on Indian investors. If you talk about WazirX is mostly, I think 80-90% is depend on the Indian investor, because it is basically a exchange based token. So, and that exchange is limited to India. So if Indian government is going to ban, that their token is going to be have a massive fall off, and then people will lose the money. So this selective coins will be lose the value, and I don't think that it's gonna impact on BTC or Ethereum.
Alright. So Ravi, my specific question was regarding the regulations. Like US is coming with regulations and India is also going to come up with regulations. So what would be the, like, yeah, banning in India won't affect the international market much, but what would be like the effect specifically if there is a, like, the crypto bill is going to come. So what would be the effect on BTC, Ethereum, or all the altcoins due to this regulation?
Regulation, if regulation is coming from India, so I don't think there will be any issue. From Indian, if the regulation is coming or ban is coming, I don't think that gonna impact much. But yeah, in long term, if India is going to allow and regulate the, you can say, crypto by making hard regulation or maybe soft regulation, because there are some news that government will only allow you to use certain exchanges which are regulated by the government. You are not allowed to be, or you won't be allowed to be exchange your tokens from one exchange to another exchange. So that means you are limited to a platform. You can buy and sell on that particular platform only. So that means you are limited with the crypto ecosystem, and I don't think people who are into crypto since very long will gonna be happy with that decision. So at least if I'm having this rules right now with me, I'm not gonna give much time to the crypto anymore then, because if I have to hold it, then I will hold it. I'm not gonna trade it because I'm limited to that. And right now, if I'm doing any trading, at least I have a multiple choices. I can go for a decentralized, and if a decentralized ecosystem are not going to be allowed to use it, then you will see that there will be a low investment coming from in India. But it won't affect the global market, as I said. Even if India is going to ban it, it won't gonna impact. Even if India going to regulate it, there will be much, maybe you can say single candle for a day, or maybe a 2 day or 3 day, but it won't gonna be a 4 month and then there will be a bull run just because the India's announced they are going to regulate. So it will help in the long term, because India is not just you can say a market for an investor, that people are also aiming for a developer as well. So we aimed about there will be 8 lakh jobs into crypto. That means 8 lakh a developer will join crypto market, and that's how the market grows. So India plays a you can say great role in the development. I won't say people are aiming India for investment right now. They are aiming for development. They are aiming for to adopt blockchain as a development, because we have a kind of that mentality of working for a company instead of creating a company. But still, if you see Matic is creating their own kind of decentralized company, you can say they have been there. So if India is going to regulate and they can allow certain ways to participate into decentralized ecosystem, that will help the market, also the Indian developers to participate in, and that's how the market will grow, and then even your project will also grow, though you can say market cap will also grow. But it is not like if India is making any positive impact on the cryptos, so then there will be a kind of huge impact on the market. Or if India is going to make any negative impact, there will be a kind of major fallback on the market. There won't be any major changes on the global market, at least with the Indian decision, if India is going to.
Okay, thank you, Rudy. I have one more question.
Okay,
so,
go.
Like, I'm a big fan or supporter of blockchain technology, but when it comes to a particular, when it comes to a crypto project, so like, how do we estimate the value of the project? Like, in stock market, we can estimate the price or market value of a company by its sales and the services. But like, I guess the crypto market is more based on the hype. Like, if there's an event, then it gets hyped up. Like, the values exceeds. So how do we estimate? How can we estimate the price of a crypto or a project?
Basically, we can estimate the price, but the main issue will be the how can we estimate the market cap. So to estimate the market cap, first of all, you have to always compare BTC. So always count BTC have a 50% of the market. Still, right now it may be under 45. Still, I always consider it as a 50% of the total market. So after that, you can compare Ethereum as well. Ethereum is a kind of a layer one. So if you have a layer one, you can compare with the other layer ones who can be compete with the Ethereum. So if Ethereum's market cap is around, you can say 400 billion. So what will be the next, you can say L1 that can compete with the Ethereum and can share the market cap from Ethereum to you can say this another L1. So this is how actually is right now working. So if you see on top 10, I think 3 or 4 L1s are right now, you can say, doing up and down. Some days that goes up, some days that goes down. So they are trying to compete with the Ethereum, because Ethereum is kind of a set of layer ones. So out of that 50%, which BTC already took the 50%, but out of the 50%, majority of the I think 60-17% of the market cap is on Ethereum, and the real competition is there on to be a biggest layer one solution. So there are Solana, there are BNB. You can estimate if the problem what we face in Ethereum, if this particular blockchain or L1 solves that problem, then that means the total market cap, not even totally 50% market cap is coming from Ethereum to this blockchain. Then we can estimate, if right now its market cap is 10 billion, it can go up to maybe 150 billion from here to after making the success, you can say, solving the problem which Ethereum can't solve. Because if you see, Ethereum have this gas fees issue, that's why Solana is right now very famous, because Solana have a fastest transaction and kind of a lowest transaction fees on the layer ones. So that's why it is on the top 10. So by that you can estimate. Right now we see Aave is right now is mostly focusing on DeFi. So if you take the total market cap of DeFi, and if you even set the 50% of the DeFi market cap on Aave, then you can estimate how much will be the Aave's market cap if it is able to do what they are promising right now. And if you follow the news, if you follow their partnership, you will get idea that they are kind of trying to do this kind of thing. And this goes on each category. If you even take a meme, so we were discussing about this Shiba coin since last, around 5-6 months ago, where we already talk about if Shiba have to give that much return, what will be the Shiba's aim to flip Dogecoin. And it actually did. So Shiba actually dipped, flipped the Dogecoin, and that was its primary, aim. So even if you compare, Dogecoin's market cap is 30 billion right now. What will be the price of, this Shiba, if Shiba is able to flip Dogecoin's market cap? So Shiba have to make at least 30 point something billion to flip the Dogecoin. And if you compare, if you calculate the total supply and market cap, if you multiply, you will get the idea what will be the actual price once the Shiba will be flipping this Dogecoin. So this is how you can calculate the price. All you have to calculate the market cap, and by the market cap you can have to calculate to the competitors what they are trying to do. So if suppose Solana is going to do something better than Ethereum, it's going to flip the Ethereum, then you can compare that market cap, and with the market cap you can get the price. So there is no perfect way. These are the kind of indirect ways you can find out the nearby values which it can reach in nearby future.
Thank you, Ruby. And last but not the least, I invested in Polkadot. I entered in the Polkadot at $24, and it went up to $50, and I have never taken out profits yet. I have been into space, in this space, for 8 months now, but I have only invested money and haven't actually booked any profit. So what is the can you tell your profit taking strategy that might help me?
First of all, if you are buying that high caps or top 10 coins, so I don't like to make sell or make problem. I hold it. If you take Polkadot right now, Polkadot may be in dip because the whole market is dipping, so it will also dip. But if you take the development, if you see their auctions are going on, the auction may gonna be ending, I think, in March. Around maybe March, the auction will be end. So till March, the auction will is going on. I think each week, or maybe it is bi-weekly. So bi-weekly, if they are conducting one auction, that means people are voting using the Polkadot coin, and they are locking it. The locking period is for 2 years. So if the vote, suppose a particular project got 80,000 vote, that means people have voted 80,000 polka dots and that project. So that means 80,000 polka dot has been locked for 2 years. That means after completing all that this you can say parachain auctions, there will be a lots of Polkadot which will be locked for 2 years. So that means if there will be any supply shock on the Polkadot, there will be surely a supply shock, because majority of the coins will be locked for 2 years. They cannot you can say withdraw it. So that means the circulation supply will be less. And if the demand goes higher and supply is already circulation supply is already low, that means that gonna impact on the you can say give a supply shock, and the price may gonna up. So that is a long term thing, that is a not a short term. If you like to go for a short term, you should go for a maybe mid or maybe a low cap coins. I'm not gonna suggest you to do this trading or do short term trades on this, because you may be missing this Ethereum. You may find like what was suppose you got the Ethereum around $300 or $400. So if you are suppose buying Ethereum $300-$400 value and you are selling it $400 or $500 after booking a profit of $100 or $150, but right now if you see Bitcoin Ethereum raised around 4,000, maybe right now 3,500, 3,200 right now. So you can imagine from $300 it raised about 3,000. So Polkadot also have a kind of same potential. If you see the founder is kind of a great guy. He is kind of a co-founder of Ethereum as well. He was a kind of data scientist in Microsoft, and the Solidity which we use in Ethereum to, if you like to develop in Ethereum, you have to use the Solidity to develop this smart contract. So the concept of smart contract and this Solidity was actually founded by the same guy who is running this Polkadot. So always bet for a long term on this kind of project, not for a short term, because if you once missed, like people miss Bitcoin, people miss this Ethereum, you are not going to get BTC back again under 3,000 or this Ethereum under $100. But right now if you have a dot, just have a patience for 2-3 years, it going to give you a good profit, because it is not a kind of a bet, it is a kind of surety. Maybe that can be possibilities the project fails, but the percentage rates are very low. The if you take the positive side, I will go for like 80% or 90% sure that this project is going to be very bigger. So and right now we had this only token coins like Bitcoin, which had no kind of utility apart from being a currency. Then we got this L1s, L2, L3. Right now we got L0, which have a intercommunication, that's an interoperability blockchain communication systems within a whole own ecosystem, which is like a Cosmos, Polkadot. So maybe we're gonna see a next generational you can say advancement in near future, which will be held on this layer zero. So layer zeros are still undervalued. I don't like gonna suggest you to do trades on it. So all the top 10s, apart from being Doge or Shiba Coin or Meme Coin, if you are holding any top 10 coins, hold it for at least 2-3 years, or maybe at least the next halving. So BTC halving is 2024. At least hold it till that time, because there will be a supply shock on the BTC, and then market will still again gonna be a next bullish, and then all these coins will also gonna boom. So you will see a real potential at that time. So right now it is a buying point. Don't try to do trades on this like high cap coin.
Thank you.
So we have Arul. Hello.
Thanks for having me here. So my question is the Ethereum 2.0 versus Polkadot. So the exact question is the Polkadot having a parachain and the Ethereum is having beacon chain. They are they seem to be targeting on level zero, right? So who is going to eat the other one? I mean, whether in the long run, Ethereum going to be successful or Polkadot? What is your view on that?
Like, I don't think there is a competition between Ethereum and Polkadot. Polkadot is aiming for a layer zero. It is a layer zero. But I don't think Ethereum is aiming for a layer zero. Right now, the competition, the competition is between the ecosystem. Like Ethereum have its own ecosystem, doesn't matter it's layer one, but it's to have a own ecosystem. You can compare the ecosystem that maybe Polkadot gonna be change the narrative, and maybe people will go shift on a Polkadot ecosystem from Ethereum ecosystem. So ecosystem wise, there will be a competition, but if you compare BTC and Ethereum and Polkadot, I think there is no competition, because what Ethereum is doing, Polkadot is kind of very much different. There will be certain projects on Polkadot which will be gonna compete with the Ethereum. So that is a layer zero and that is a layer one. So that layer zero gonna be giving a layer one, which will be a predictor of it, maybe gonna working like Ethereum. So all the capabilities what Ethereum have, most of the Polkadot project which have a layer one are you can say compatible for with I think EVM. So they are aiming that all the project which are on a Ethereum we gonna be shifting on our own ecosystem. So that is a kind of ecosystem fight. There is no fight between the project. Token wise, there is no competition.
So my next question is from the roadmap perspective. So who is going to be more profitable or more successful from your?
I think from on if we I'd have to bet, I will bet for Polkadot. Ethereum is doing great, but still Ethereum, we have to see how this 2.0 actually perform, because first of all, there was a, you can say, sentiment in the market that once 2.0 will be there, there will be a, you can say, kind of great scalable scalability on the blockchain of Ethereum, and we won't have to face this. But right now, after completing the first phase, I already mentioned multiple times, I was attending, you can say, kind of an interview of Vitalik, who is a co-founder of Ethereum. So he said that on the same question about 2.0, he said that for the future of Ethereum, that is actually fully depend on layer 2s. So the layer 2s are the kind of big advantage to the Ethereum, and there is no future of Ethereum without the layer. That means somewhere he knows that even after having 2.0, the scalability won't be able to that much, which people are aiming for, and maybe thinking that that will be more scalable, then we won't have to pay that much gas fees, and we won't have to wait for the transaction to complete for that long period, because sometimes it takes even one day to complete a transaction. So if something like that will be on Ethereum, I think that is one of the biggest drawback on it. And Ethereum don't have any of the solution apart from layer 2. But in Polkadot, it is not like that. They know what is and they don't even need the bridging. If you have a layer one, you'd need the bridging, but in a layer one, you don't even need the bridging, because that is kind of their advantage over there. They have a kind of inbuilt bridging, you can say. So they won't be having if you read the white paper, if you follow the interview of how the Polkadot was aimed to be launched, and what was the aim, what was the mindset. So they always mention that a single particular blockchain won't be able to solve all the problems. So even so if you have a Ethereum, you have a Solana, they are all not going to able to solve all the solutions. So we required, you can say, layer zero on which we can create multiple layers, you can say L1s, and that's how we can divide all the traffics, and we can able to solve all the problems. So right now the traffic is the main issue on Ethereum, and that's causing the gas fees, that causing the transaction congestion over there, which I don't think that will be solved after 2.0. but if it is really going to solve it, then I think there will be a second born of Ethereum, because then all these L1s also may gonna be lose their market share out of the total market, and maybe then Ethereum will be leading alone, and then layer zeros have to do something great. But still they are doing very much different from Ethereum or L1, because they are L0, so they can create multiple L1s on their ecosystem, and they can divide the traffics if they want, and they don't even need the bridge. So that is a different thing. I think layer zero is a great concept. If we say after seeing this traffic issues on Ethereum, so I think Polkadot will be solve this problem. And the founder is kind of a great guy. I kind of being a fan of it. So I think also that he's gonna be have a great aim, whatever he's doing right now. Kind of bring a new concept with the Ethereum. You also bring a kind of different concepts, and with the Polkadot also is doing great. I think not even a project, I can bet on that guy at least.
Could you explain more on how, as far as my understanding, the Polkadot parachain will have certain set of rules, and all other the Ethereum or any other crypto chains can be integrated to this Polkadot parachain, and this will have centralized control over the protocol. So this is what my understanding is.
Yes.
It correct?
Yes. Yes. So their main aim is to divert all the projects which are on different platforms to their ecosystem. And I think most of the platforms are right now doing it. Why they are bridging it? The concept of bridging on L1s are to, you can say, transfer your project. Suppose I have a project on Ethereum. With the bridge, I can actually go for BNB or any other ecosystem. If I want, I can create my, you can say, that's, we call it, I forget the name. So the bridging concept is basically to divert your, or you can say, join your project with that different blockchain as well, if you like to. So they are indirectly inviting that Ethereum based project as well to their ecosystem.
So Arul, there is a concept called EVM compatibility. Most of these alternative L1s, they have something called EVM compatibility. In other words, if you look from a user perspective, if you see MetaMask, most of the projects, their network can be added to the MetaMask, and they can work seamlessly, except Solana and maybe Cardano. I haven't added Cardano network, but Phantom, AVAX, I think Moonriver, Moonbeam, all these are EVM compatible projects. So they can work seamlessly with, they have EVM compatibility. So if a project has EVM compatibility, at certain point in time, it can also act as an Ethereum. So in that way, what Polkadot is doing, they are bringing in such projects. I mean, Moonbeam, you have heard, it had come for a parachain auction. It is an EVM compatible chain. So it can act like an Ethereum. And if it can act like Ethereum, the many DeFi and this gaming projects can work directly on Moonbeam, and they can reduce the cluttering of Ethereum. So what they are doing, they are providing, if the blockchain is providing an alternate to Ethereum, and if it is connecting to Polkadot, then that project might integrate with some other projects through Polkadot. So there will be cross-chain interoperability, as well as you can have the advantage of Ethereum in it. So in that way, Polkadot is operating. Polkadot is in between, and here Ethereum comes, there Cardano will come, there Totem will come, the Facebook's own blockchain. A lot of things will interact among each other through Polkadot. So it is very nascent stage. The parachain slot is a very nascent slate. I mean, they are bidding and all. Dot is getting locked up. But once they truly start operating, it will take 1 year or so. Then it will give a very beautiful product to the whole world. I am also not sure how. I cannot imagine. But I think Gavin Wood has imagined, and he has built, spent a lot of time on it. So in that way, I mean, on the overall kind of thing.
What was that, okay. Samit? What you couldn't imagine? I didn't get that.
I mean, this parachain auction is only the beginning. Now the projects will roll out. Now the projects will come on Polkadot. And once they start interacting with each other, and what products will roll out from that ecosystem, we cannot, I mean, I cannot imagine
exactly,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, what if this blockchain, which does this thing, interacts with, like, I saw an article that Mover is collaborating with Phantom. I don't know what they're collaborating with, I have to read on it, but if they are connecting with Phantom, and if Phantom, some project comes on Polkadot parachain, it will be again, I don't know how it will work out, but it might be used.
So
recently, Manish were discussing about this Engine. Engine is creating a metaverse. Engine is an NFT. Engine started as an NFT central marketplace, NFTs, all these things. But it has also created a project called EFI. As you are also a holder, I remember. EFI is the project which will be specifically on Polkadot. It will build on Polkadot, and it will provide cross-chain interoperabilities of NFT across many multiple domains. I mean, it will bring in NFTs and multiple ecosystems together into their metaverse. So they might have bigger plans. So Polkadot is an enabler for bigger plans of these projects.
Exactly. And I think that Mover Phantom thing is what Phantom is trying, right? Phantom is trying to bring all the Ethereum-based blockchains or projects on their platform. And what Mover does is Mover can kind of migrate. Mover is a technology or whatever the framework that can migrate Ethereum-based platform or Ethereum-based applications to another platform. So I think that's happening there because in Ethereum, a lot of money is locked, right? Lot of liquidity. Most of the liquidity is in Ethereum only. So Phantom is trying to get that liquidity by migrating the platform. Let's see.
And here is where Solana is lacking behind in terms of DeFi because Solana started as completely different product. Solana is not Ethereum compatible. It has its own wallet. But now what I see that all the Ethereum DeFi will be moving to Solana via something. They have some kind of connectivity now. It will roll out in February. I have forgotten the name. So everybody is aiming to take that chunk, DeFi chunk out of that Ethereum because Ethereum itself is very cluttered and DeFi is like billions of DeFi is in Ethereum. And every time you do simple things, you pay a lot of fees. And till that layer 2 is able to solve everything, layer 2 concept on Ethereum, Matic, Arbitrum, these blockchains are simply trying to take a chunk out of it.
Yeah, interesting thing I wanted to share and I forgot. You know, the Vitalik said it might take 6 more years to convert Ethereum or what. So that...
तो फिर Ethereum जो lock कर दिया उसका क्या होगा? अभी तो Ethereum 2.0 में जो lock हो गया. Gone case. Yes.
So you can't withdraw it?
No, it is permanently locked till that chain arrives, right? I mean, it is permanently locked into Beacon chain until that all that sharding and a lot of things are arrived.
Did you see that interview where he's mentioning that it will take six years? Maybe they will deliver
in... Absolutely, I had no idea. 6 years. I thought it was 6 months.
No, let me share that. But yeah, it doesn't mean that everything will happen after 6 years. Maybe they will release in, you know...
That works. They will not play with people's money and blood.
Okay. Rakesh is trying to say something. Sorry, Rakesh. Go ahead.
In the same meeting, you also said that you also highlighted Binance Smart Chain, right?
Rakesh, I have just heard that particular snippet because that was very popular recently on Twitter and everywhere trending that Ethereum founder is saying it will take 6 years for them to kind of get this entire system in place or what they want to see. I have not heard the entire interview. I think it was 1.5 hours long.
Yes. In that
interview, right, what I heard was like someone was asking, the interviewer was asking about Ethereum killer. But why should he consider someone?
Is that a question or I lost your voice?
Yeah, I lost your voice, Rakesh.
So actually, the interviewer asked...
Arul, one second. Arul,
the question is...
One second, let Rakesh complete and then you give your input. Otherwise, we won't be able to get it. Yeah, Rakesh, go ahead.
Yeah, so in the same interview, the interviewer asked what could be the Ethereum killer. So Vitalik said that first one is Binance Smart Chain. Second one is Tron.
I think this was a recent interview, Rakesh, or... Recent only.
Very recent, I guess.
See, transaction-wise, Binance Smart Chain is doing more transaction, is seeing more transaction on Ethereum. That also we know. Because every time anything is releasing on Uniswap, we don't go to Uniswap to swap where we pay $100, $50, $60 gas fee. We always prefer till the coin releases on PancakeSwap in the Binance BSC format. So that we can only pay $0.1 fee. And the whole world does that, right? When the whole world goes to PancakeSwap to swap it. So Binance Smart Chain, in other words, is seeing more traction. BUSD, idhar-udhar karna, zero charge. Almost zero charge. Lot of things, benefits are there. That I can understand. But Tron, certainly doubt because its founder is also has joined some other job. I don't know how the team is operating. Nobody is using Tron. Even to... transfer, now the Tron is not the best. I don't know, people are only using, we're using Tron to transfer, but same thing can be done with XLM, which is less fee. Tron had two beautiful projects, BTT and I think second one, BTT was a good project out of Tron ecosystem, BitTorrent. I don't know, they have killed it or something has happened. I don't know what they're doing now, where is the development team sitting. Twitter updates are very less. I don't know how Tron will be an Ethereum killer, but yeah, if he is expecting something, then he might know some inner things, that I'm sure. But closest one I can see now. Earlier, I used to vouch on BNB. I don't think it is an Ethereum killer. because basically you see now, as I mentioned, this AVAX, BNB, BSC, BSC Smart Chain, FTM, these are all EVM compatible blockchains. So they are able to pull away some of the resources of Ethereum because they can act similarly to Ethereum. In that way, if you just look into Ethereum killers, I don't know. I mean, if everything is shifting to Matic in future, I mean, all the games and all these big projects are shifting to Matic just to stay on Ethereum, then Matic will become the primary blockchain and Ethereum will only act as a settlement layer. In that way, Matic also will take a bigger chunk out of Ethereum. I don't know. Ethereum killers are plenty. But one project is that this is Solana, I think, which is not EVM compatible, but still it has created a lot of buzz. It has an ongoing big marketplace, big DeFi, and it has done outside, completely outside Ethereum ecosystem. It is a true competitor. It might not be a killer, but I think all these Ethereum, what we're mentioning, Binance Smart Chain and others, these are EVM compatible, Binance Smart Chain, AVAX and all. These are, since they are EVM compatible, they are truly taking some DeFi things out of Ethereum. Directly they are taking, because everything can be done on them, whatever was getting done on Ethereum. EVM compatible smart chains are only working in that way. But it is very difficult to know how do we define an Ethereum killer.
Yeah. Arul had to say something. Let Arul. Arul, go ahead and then I will share my
I was about to say whatever Samita saw in the BN. So Vitalik was said like the same what Samita explained about BN. So it is having very less transaction. People not going to worry about decentralization. BN gave the super vast. So that's what he saying in this, about this.
Yeah, exactly. I think this decentralization, all this is a marketing strategy only. Ultimately, people will go where they will have to spend less money and can make more profit. There'll be very few people who will vouch for decentralization, blah blah blah. So let's see how it goes.
There are people in I mean everywhere people will route for this decentralization thing. They will stand. But having said that, as I mentioned, like we were having the discussion, right? I was just narrating some trends. In a few years down the line, you won't bother about the technologies which is behind a product. Ultimately, when complete, let us suppose you are working in IT, the same thing I had talked to Manish before also as well. You have a fulfillment system which runs on SAP or it runs on Oracle apps. You have two options. But if your system is working well, you won't bother if it is working on SAP or on Oracle apps. For which ERP, I don't care. So these now basically we are trading on narratives and technologies. That time we will be trading on the completeness, the product, what revenue generated by the product. It will become like a stock market kind of thing. But when the metaverse, gaming and other things will be rampant, kind of everybody is in those metaverses and in games, they won't be bothered about the underlying blockchain. In that way, if a game in that way, what we are seeing, we will stop caring about what is built on Ethereum and what is built on Solana and what is built on Matic. So we should look at that direction also, kind of. That time also we won't nearly remember which one is an Ethereum killer and which one is not. I will only remember Sandbox succeeds or Decentraland succeeds or some other new metaverse succeeds.
Yep.
Yeah, so I see that you own Loaded Lines, right? How did you find out that this would be a success?
Yeah, so basically
I see so many cricketers also get into it, like Ravi Bopara.
Yeah, Ravi Bopara is actually related to crypto.com. Ravi Bopara is Andros, like, and Ravi Bopara is kind of an ambassador for crypto.com. That's why he holds that and he also launches his NFTs. So the thing is, why I got into it was I am a Leo with my moon sign, like Rashi, right? And I also use crypto.com, and crypto.com symbol is also Leo, and I kind of follow their mantra or their tagline, which is fortune favors the brave. So I kind of believe in the same thing, and I am able to relate with that platform in this sense. And I like that platform. I use it, and I have got very good gains with Crow Coins. I got into Crow Coins when it was in very less, like it was in cents, 14 cents or maybe less than that. So I thought I will just support this loaded lion. I never knew what is this, like, will it become something big or will it be a special thing? I just went with the spirit of supporting the platform and get one NFT. And by the time when I was buying it, I didn't realize that this will become something exclusive for their metaverse or the mainnet. I just saw that this is a PFP NFT, and that was the first time I heard something called PFP. I just researched about it. It said picture for proof or profile picture. So, and in during that time, I was getting these news that Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, these guys are working on integrating their platforms with these NFTs. So now, if someone owns an NFT, he can put his picture there on that Instagram or maybe Facebook, Twitter, and it can be easily validated that he's the original owner. And it's not like somebody can take a screenshot and just put it and he will not be caught, right? So I just thought that, okay, this is good technology, this is good platform, this is Leo, I am also Leo by my moon sign. So I just bought it. Nothing special. I didn't do any research on what will happen and stuff like that.
I have seen very less people using this crypto.com exchange in India. But I and one of my friends are crypto.com KYC'd. But when Manish also like posted or like told us, we were like, a lot of NFTs are on Ethereum, a lot of NFTs are on Solana and all. Why should we buy? And actually, we didn't have time that day when it came out. I think Manish went in, he waited for some time. It takes time. Right? There are multiple people who are applying in crypto.com to get those NFTs. These NFTs are being dropped at $200 per rate or $100 per rate. And since it was a very big project, it kind of exploded. I think Manish had added me to their Discord group. I could see they have bigger plans and all.
If I would have known, right, like if I would have been active into this NFT space, or I would have known that this project might become big, I would have bought like at least two. You were allowed to buy five. I would have at least bought two. One was $200, so maybe for $400 I would have bought two. But I didn't realize, I just bought it because I like this platform and the things I told.
What was the pre-sale price of this?
So the airdrop was $200 per NFT.
Okay. Now I still see 400K.
Yeah, 500. Yeah, now one got sold for $1 million. That was the astronaut. I think first time when the men step on moon. So that NFT was dedicated to that. And I think Matt Damon is one of the brand ambassador of crypto.com. I think he bought that for $1 million. I hope you all know who is Matt Damon, right? The film, the guy behind it, Mars movie.
So this crypto.com and FTX, these people are roping in ambassadors and they are doing stuff that they have left Binance behind in some marketing perspective at least. One owns an arena, the second owns a stadium. Everything is like their branding, like anything. And I think crypto.com's success is also witnessed from its rise of its coin, because they brought this Kronos and all, mainnet and all. Earlier, crypto.com used to be a token on Ethereum. It still is, but gradually they will move to their own blockchain. So they have, I don't know, Manish, it has happened. They moved to their own blockchain. Or?
Yeah. Now they have their own.
Yeah.
Crypto.org. So,
one of the biggest triggers, which, they're trying to follow the same steps as Binance. That is the way.
I think they are going much ahead. Their marketing is very aggressive, man. Like in Los Angeles, they got this stadium for next 20 years. And that stadium, everybody knows, because that stadium has like all the NBA matches, all the Grammy Awards, and all these UFC fightings happen in that stadium. So it is very popular. So earlier it was called as Staples Center. Now it is called as Crypto.com Arena. And this stadium itself will bring awareness among masses in America. That what is crypto, right? So nobody knows what is crypto. Like very few people know right now. So when they will, every day when they're going on the street or road and they see what is this crypto.com arena, man, let's Google. And the best part is their marketing is so nice that they got the domain also crypto.com. So first thing, if you search on internet, crypto.com will only come. So I think there are some very intelligent people behind this company. Even if you see right there, when they launched their Loaded Lions, they said you will become part of mainnet. So mainnet is actually, when we talk about blockchains, it's like the production environment of that blockchain, MAINNET. But they named there as MANENET. So main is like that beard of lion, right? So they you their marketing strategy is very awesome. It really, you know, touches where they want to, and it actually clicks people's brain. So
it also is a very good to operate also. I mean, you won't face any problems. There's marketing support and all. I liked it. I used for a short time. Yeah. I used for one time itself. Let me tell you, they have their NFT marketplace in a web format. You can go in there and buy some NFTs. 6 to 7 months ago, I went there. There was some drop being made and they were accepting credit cards because that was simply a website. Yeah. I just paid $200 by using this HDFC card and all. I bought one. I sold it like 3 days after. But once you sell it, you have to route. I mean, you have to sell in USDT, then you have to be KYC'd where it is compulsory, and then you have to route your money. Mm. So in that way. But I am KYC'd, I hold it in that way. It is better to have multiple exchange. I mean, I can interact with people like Binance, right? If you have Binance and your friend has Binance, you need not be interacting on a blockchain. You can simply access Binance Pay and send him the money. I don't know whether crypto.com has that format also.
Yeah, they have something called PayString. You can just get the PayString of your person whom you're sending the
Then yesterday.
Another thing is, if you see there another NFT, right? Crochims. I missed that at the time when I wanted to, like when I was new to NFT and what is this cartoon things, I didn't understand the technology. So at that time, I just was looking into Crochims. It was like just 300 crow coins at that time. And I missed it now. There. But that is one NFT. When this bear market will come, I will try to capture that. That is
crypto.com. You buy NFTs using dollars or crow coins?
So like Sambit mentioned, on the crypto.com NFT website, you can buy it in using your credit card, or sometimes you can connect your crypto.com account with this crypto.com NFT platform, and then it will automatically deduct the balance from your crypto.com account. So you just need to have some stable coins over there, so it will automatically pick. So I bought my first NFT, that Loaded Lion. I bought one more lion. So the Loaded Lion I bought through this way only. They directly deducted from my crypto.com account, my stable coin. And the second one, I recently bought a VVS Mole. So crypto.com, it is also trying to become a big now, right? Like they have their own blockchain and all. So they have come with their own DeFi platform like PancakeSwap. They have come with VVS Finance, which is very, very simple finance. So I have invested in that. So that's why I bought their one of their NFTs, which was called VVS Mole. Because I think crypto.com is very big, it is going to do good. So I am assuming their DeFi platform will also do good. Right now it is in very early stages, so like I got millions of coins by just investing. But I believe tomorrow if it can even go close to PancakeSwap, which I think it can happen because crypto.com will become big, I might get good. So that's why I bought that VVS Mole NFT, because that gives me some access to some exclusive things which will happen in future around that VVS fine. So I bought it using my credit card.
Yeah, and the most premium NFTs that we see are present only on Ethereum. But the same thing if you see on that on Phantom, right? That's Solana NFT. You don't see that great.
What is happening because Ethereum NFTs came out as only NFTs and art and everything. Then what they did was they built a community around, like if you see CyberKongs. So CyberKongs built a community around that, and then what happened was the owners of CyberKongs will get some tokens, blah, 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 but they will also get access to the newer NFT airdrops. In that way, they have maintained it, right? Also with Bored Ape Yacht Club. But if you see here, if you see into Solana ecosystem, there are very less number of NFTs of that caliber. But if you go and search of that caliber NFT, there is something called Boryuku Dragons. The floor price might be at 120, 180 or 200 soul, and it will almost touch 300 soul kind of thing very soon. Their concept is similar to CyberKongs, maybe. Matlab, their concept is the same here, sabka. But there is an NFT called Super Shadowy Coders. It is called Genesis Ghost Super Shadowy Coders. Their concept is very different from conventional NFT projects. What they are trying is they are a technical team, RPC controller kind of thing, which control the traffic within the blockchain. They are trying to solve the storage and mismanagement of, I mean, the some certain blockchain related issues in Solana. They have their own coin, and they will try to recreate an Arweave or Filecoin kind of concept going forward. And if you hold their NFTs, you will get their NFT, their token airdrops in that way. So this was a game changer kind of thing, because Solana NFTs are mainly meant for utilities and not only for art. By utility means all these new games that are coming up, you will own the NFTs and you will be able to be a part of their gaming ecosystem in that way. And most of the things in Solana started like this. And now I think Ethereum-based NFTs have also caught up. I mean, Chambi, look at Chambi Valley or look at My Pet Hooligan. These people also have their own games coming up and they are based out of OpenSea. In that way, now the war is between the utilities and not only on art. Yes, an art can exist as an art, but again, it will to some it may appeal or to some it may not.
Yeah.
But giving that utility is a different ballgame altogether. Yeah, but Solana is nascent. But recently, I saw Magic Eden has done a lot of business. It is rightly placed below OpenSea in terms of the transactions made.
Actually,
some of the NFT projects are growing.
Samit, you know, Solana, because I'm developing on it, it has given a very smart, platform. Anybody can go and mint the NFT. So there's something called Metaplex. So Metaplex exactly. is a protocol that is used to, that can be used to create your own candy machine on Solana. You can mint your own NFTs or you can create your own NFTs. So I was amazed to see they have already prepared all this framework and these guys are actually solving so many problems. For example, recently the update came Candy Machine 2, CM2 version. In that they have added CAPTCHA and setting the end dates of the NFTs. So everything is automated. You don't need to code anything now. You can just use this Metaplex protocol and mint your NFTs. It is very simple. So Solana is doing it very simply. I don't know how it happens. So maybe that's
Solana. Just to tell you, the NFT which is in my profile pic, they are also coming up with their secondary NFT marketplace. And it will be. It is also utilizing this Metaplex. The whole world is, the whole Solana ecosystem NFTs are moving towards this Metaplex thing. Candy Machines, Metaplex.
Yeah. And you know, Metaplex can be used with anyone. Right now, it's mostly used with Solana, but it's kind of an API.
Exactly.
You can assume they might. Yeah, I was really impressed with. So yes.
So there is a concept called Wormhole also, Rakesh. So in that way, you can take the Solana NFT and sell it on OpenSea. And in fact, I recently heard a news that OpenSea is going to have one more platform
on Solana.
And it will be meant only for Solana NFTs because that NFT marketplace in Solana is on a boom right now. All the newcomers are coming to Solana because we don't have 5ETH, 6ETH, 7ETH, 10ETH to spend on OpenSea.
Yes,
those people who had acquired ETH at 2017-18, that time they have that amount of ETH. But the newcomers, students and all... they're all flocking into Solana ecosystem. That migration I have seen. Even those community groups, they're smaller than Ethereum. Ethereum groups have like Discord members are like 48,000, 50,000, 70, 80, 90, 100,000. But here they have this 20,000 group, 15,000, 12,000 group. But these groups are coming up so fast. I mean, I thought that Cardano will be the one to go after ETH. I can see that Solana somehow it has built a community within a very less span of time. Before Degenerate Apes, before August or July, there was no such concept of communities on Solana. Solana exists. We know Solana exists. It will be fast. It will be. But when you build this community, these people will stay with you for a long time. So that's how. And the developers are also migrating, kind of. That is one more thing. The developers have also migrated to Solana, kind of thing. They're learning Rust. Like Manish is also learning Rust nowadays.
Very
Rust
difficult,
is a
man.
Good program. Yeah. So some things are happening. Everything will be like in next 1 or 2 years, you'll be seeing the end products in each of the blockchains, the metaverses and games and a lot of things.
You were listening to the Crypto Hub India podcast. Do follow us wherever you are listening so that you get notified about the latest episodes as soon as they're out. We are active on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Telegram, and Clubhouse. Visit cryptohubindia.com to get all our social links. This is Nirmal Sarkar signing off. Thank you.